Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Praise the Lord. And so today marks the closing of that subject. As far as the services are concerned, but like we said last time, much of what we share from the pulpit is just to give you a place to stand, a place to start so that as you are at home and you study, you've got thoughts, your thoughts are guided, and the Lord has something to add to what you already got. Praise the Lord. Because in our fellowship with one another, one of the things that we help each other in is to help point ourselves in the right direction, so that when the Lord is ministering to us at individual level, our minds are already focused in the right direction. And that is the power of fellowship. This is why God always uses someone that you can see and hear to introduce to you a God that you can neither see nor hear ordinarily. Amen. The Bible says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, Hebrews 1:1, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Amen. So God has spoken to us, which tells us that everything you find Jesus speaking is God speaking to us. Whatever you find in the Bible, in the books of the prophets, the Bible says he in times past spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, which means whatever you read by the prophets is actually God speaking to the people. And this is the right mentality to have when you're studying the Bible, whenever you're listening to the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is reminding me to tell you something. He said to me to tell people it's time to enter your victory. Praise God. He said it's time to enter your victory. It's time for you to take your victory. Thank you, Lord. And so our message will be swayed in that direction, because the scriptures are God-breathed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we will be moving in that direction. And so, what you find in the scriptures is God speaking to us, which tells us that the Bible is the writing of God's speech. It is the writing of matters as God saw them, as God said them. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, we can rightly call the Bible the Word of God, the written Word of God. Amen. Now, we have got to come from the written word of God to the spoken word of God for a reason. The power inherent in God's word will not work in its writing. The power inherent in God's word will work in its speech, when it is spoken, in its preaching, in its declaration. God didn't create the universe by meditating. Neither will you. Change will not come to your life by meditation. Meditation is where you stand so that you may finally speak. Amen? And this is the aspect of taking our victory that we are going to look at today. You've got to end adversity by taking your victory. That is the end game. The end game is not to make a mountain out of adversity. The end game is to receive your victory in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. From verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Oh God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We talked a little bit about that last week. The Bible says, because of this reason, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That is, when the evil day expires, you are still standing. Now, you may not make a lot of progress during the evil day because you are dealing with the evil day. But by the time the evil day expires, make sure you outlasted it. You know, sometimes that's all you need, just to outlast the adversity. Outlast it. Don't pitch a tent in the adversity. Don't target my wilderness period. Which is actually wrong, because the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that he gave them grace in the wilderness. So for you to use the term wilderness to imply that it is a place of God-forsakenness, they were not forsaken in the wilderness. Their brand new shoes that they left Egypt with never grew old. Their clothes were never tattered. The wilderness was a place of preservation as far as God is concerned. Praise the Lord. Now, to identify with the Israelites as a matter of wilderness experience is wrong again, because those who are in the wilderness died for disobedience and rebellion. So let the religious speech of identifying yourself with the wilderness pass on from you. Oh, but you say, but the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Yes, as the scapegoat, not you. You're nobody's scapegoat. He went there so that you may not. He is our substitute. But what is interesting is, the difference between what most people call wilderness and what Jesus experienced is that the Spirit led him into it. Now, the power of it is not that he was tempted by the devil. The power of it is how he came out. The Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God brings you into something, you will come out in power. You will not come out barely breathing, your clothes smoking. He went in filled with the Spirit. He came out full of power. If whatever you're going through is anything to be identified with Jesus' experience, then we can tell that by the time you're done with this adversity, people will be healed because of your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because I know that some of you have followed God into trouble. Or you don't know you can follow God into trouble. You can follow God into trouble. Psalm 91, the Bible says, I will be with him in trouble. He didn't say, I will wait for him outside. He didn't even say, I will bring him out. He said, I will be with him in trouble. What matters is that the trouble or the adversity you're facing, you are not alone. And it really matters that you know that you're not alone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. To withstand in the evil day, and having done everything, after you have done everything, which means there is something to do in that day. Oh God, there is a task for adversity, which if you do not embark, you may not stand. He said, having done everything, stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your waist guarded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, are we there? Please turn to verse 16. There it is, yeah? Above all, now, this is important because this is the one we are going to deal with mostly today. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, this is very interesting because in this particular one, he says, take it. You will soon see why. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. After you have everything else in place, your heart is loaded with the truth of God. You are aware that you have been made righteous with the righteousness of Jesus. Then he says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then he says, take unto you above all these other things. Now, that's a very positional statement because of the analogy. Now, when you wear an armor, all of the armor goes on your body, right? Except the shield. The shield doesn't go on your body. The shield covers the armor. If you were to put down the shield, you could still be beaten down despite the armor. The armor protects you, but the shield keeps the armor intact. This is why he says, above all, take the shield of faith. Now, he could have said, take the shield of something else. But of all the virtues of God in Christ, only faith is a shield. Faith is a shield. He said, the helmet of salvation, representing the hope that we have in Christ that should always be on your mind. So that your mind doesn't get discouraged beyond measure just because of what you're going through. The armor is never worn to face family. The armor is not worn to face friends. It is worn to face foes. Those foes are not in heaven. This armor is for engagement for life on earth, which means it is practical for life on earth. Praise God. Praise God. Are you in this place? He said, take unto you the shield of faith with which you shall be able to do what? To quench, to put to nothing the fiery darts of the wicked. Which means there are things that proceed from these spirits. And we mentioned all these things that are being, you know, this hierarchical order of the arrangement of Satan's kingdom as he apportions to human beings. These are for affecting human lives. The principalities, the powers, they're assigned to people. The same way God assigns angels to people, Satan assigns demons to people. Now, not only does he assign demons to people, he also assigns some for families. Some are higher, they go to villages. Some control certain territories. And in the realm of the spirit, nations do not look like what they look like on maps. Now, when you study the scriptures a little bit more, you will see that, okay? Nations look a bit different. There are people whose borders define territorial governments. But then, despite the borders, the people's characteristics are still the same. Many times in the realm of the spirit, those people are in the same region. It's just earthly governments that put orders somewhere for there to be borders. But you see, regions are controlled by spirits. Okay? Now, it's important to know that these demons don't die. They have nothing new. And they have the experience of dealing with human beings for a long time. So what they have is a strategy of dealing with human beings. Now, what God is giving to us in the armor, it's also called the armor of light elsewhere. Light, referring to the fact that it's an armor made of words. Yes, sir. For the law is a lamp and the commandment is light. Yes, sir. Yeah. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, the word is not a lamp unto your feet in the Bible. Yes, sir. It is a lamp unto your feet in you. For the Bible teaches that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, which means that's where he ignites the fire. The candle and the light are not the same, but you put fire on the candle to have light, right? So the light stays ablaze when it is in your spirit, not when it's in the Bible. Only when it's in your spirit is it aglow.
Yes, sir.
So it can guide you. In other words, God guides you from within your spirit. He puts light in your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So it doesn't relate with you according to your brain. Praise God. Now, this armor represents bodies of truth and revelation. There is one that is special compared to the rest, and it's called the shield of faith. Because it's the one that keeps the rest. Okay? Which means none of the others will profit you without this one.
My.
Praise God. And it is the only one that can quench the fiery darts. He didn't say the helmet will quench the fiery darts. You have been made righteous. It's not going to quench the fiery darts. There are things that are thrown in the realm of the spirit at people. And they land on people. They land on people's lives. If you are enlightened in God's word, you will be able to tell that these things are not coming from human beings. And that's why he tells you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So don't turn human beings into the target of your spiritual warfare. We need to keep on emphasizing this. It is not the witch that lives next door to your home in the Ushago. It is not that woman that keeps looking at you funny. That is not your enemy. Now, this armor is not for use against flesh and blood. That is important. It is very important because... Oh God, why am I finding difficult to move beyond this verse? Okay, then he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, he says, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, this is a defensive implement.
Yes,
a shield is for protection, right?
Yes,
now, which means when the shield goes down, it doesn't matter what you think. Satan will get you.
Yes,
okay? That's important. Out of all this, there is only one offensive weapon given to saints.
Yes,
and it's called the sword of the Spirit.
Yes,
now, that sword of the Spirit, he says, which is the word of God. And the term word there is rhema, which means the speaking word of God, not the written word of God.
Yeah.
The speaking word of God, which means someone has to lend a voice to that which is written.
Yes,
don't assume that when you say rhema, we are talking about God himself speaking. The Bible already tells you, he spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. The prophets lent a voice to the word. You see, you ought to lend your voice to the word.
Yeah.
When the word of God is in your mouth and finds a voice through your lips, then it turns into rhema. That rhema is the sword of the Spirit. And remember, the word of God is not a sword for using against brethren.
Yeah.
You don't use the word of God as a sword towards people. There is a way the word of God is used as a sword, but not towards people. Remember here he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, the word of God spoken becomes that sharp two-edged sword, all right? That becomes operative when you speak. So it doesn't operate when you meditate. As you listen to the, I love that song that was being sung here. Writing it in the tables of your heart. Now, you know, Pastor Stan, it's very interesting. God spoke to Moses and wrote the initial part of the covenant in 10 commandments on a stone, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, this was in the Old Testament, and the Bible says those things of the Old Testament were for types and for shadows, which means this represented something else that was yet to come.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Because he said, make it according to, even when you're building the sanctuary, do it according to the pattern of what you see in heaven. Which means what they were building was a replica of the real. It was not the real.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, the writing of letters on the stone represented the people and the law that was being given to them.
Yes, sir.
It indicated God was giving a word, a divine word, to a people of a stony heart. See that? That's exactly what it means. Just study carefully, you'll see that's exactly what it means. Now, under that old covenant, that covenant had provisions for prophets. Okay? Now, the prophets that came up out of the old covenant would have to operate under this law, but as prophets, they could speak of what God was now bringing in. Okay? One of them is a man called Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel sees the day of Christ, and he begins to declare in his prophecy that the day is coming when I will make a new covenant with Israel. And then he says, under this new covenant, he says, I will take out of you the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. The goal was the same. The old covenant was divine ordinance, but it was given to the stony heart, the fallen heart, the sin-hardened heart.
Yes, sir.
The man of death. The Bible calls them the children of wrath. Those whose spirits are dead to God.
Yeah.
Okay? So, they were given a covenant, but it was not unto new birth. Now, when we were taking the Holy Communion, there is something that Jesus said when he held the cup. He said, this cup is. He didn't say represents.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He said, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. That means his blood is the one that was going to fulfill what Ezekiel was talking about. What is the new covenant? The new covenant is the new word given based upon the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yes,
that is what the new covenant is. Because you know, when we talk about covenant, people talk about agreements and stuff. A covenant is not an agreement between God and men. I know that blows your theology away. There is no covenant in which anybody sat down to agree with God. The covenant is what God says to you. He said, I will not break my covenant, neither alter the thing that has gone forth out of my mouth. He calls the word out of his mouth covenant.
Yes, sir.
So whatever God says to you is his covenant with you.
Yes.
Now, the new covenant was a special kind of covenant. All right? Now, that's why the Bible says he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This covenant started by Jesus. Until Jesus, there was no new covenant. But remember, Jesus lived under the old covenant.
Yes.
So there are many things that he answered, there are many things that he did, there are many things that he asked people to do. For example, when he said to the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests as a testimony unto them. That was under the old covenant, not under the new. Because it is the priest who had the last word of cleansing. La, 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 la. He didn't say go to the doctors and get a test. Oh my God. Oh my. Anyways, the new covenant starts when Jesus' blood is shed. Okay, now, then comes in a new breed. Now, this covenant made it possible. Yeah, it only made it possible. For people to be born again. That was the purpose of that covenant. Because there was no provisions for anybody with a stony heart to be taken out and to be imparted with a heart of flesh. Which infers being born again, being made a new creation. That is the regeneration. Okay, so when you get born again, the stony heart is taken out of you. That is the heart that is hard toward God. You hear the word of God and you're like, no, I want my own way. That's a manifestation of the fallen spirit. The heart of flesh is the one that is soft toward God. You can't wait to be in fellowship. You hear the word of God. Even when the word of God is a bit severe to you, you're still like, oh, I love God. And yet, iyo maneno ni kama kiboko inakuchapa. But it doesn't change your attitude. What does that show you? Something is different in your spirit. You got born again. Now, having been born again, the same way the word was written on the tables of stone, under the new covenant, what it means to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Means that when we are born again and we minister the word of God like this, this is how God writes the word in your heart. The same way he was writing on the stone, he writes it in your heart. This is the power of service. It's an opportunity for God to write words into your heart. He keeps writing words into your heart. He keeps writing words into your heart. The Bible says that those words will speak to you when you sleep. They will speak to you when you walk by the way. He said, now, when they are in your heart, you also speak them when you sit down. When your children come to you, share those words with them. God wants you to be a conduit by which he writes people's hearts. Now, when those words are written into your heart, that is what is called faith. That is, okay, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, let's go back to, that's all I wanted you to see out of that. Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, it is faith when it has a voice. For the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. It didn't say, faith comes by reading. Faith is when the word of God is written in your heart. Now, if you will look at 1 John. Thank you, Lord. Exactly so. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 4. Now listen to this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. For the simple reason that you are born of God, you are born an overcomer. You see, there is no adversity you face that is meant to destroy you. And in truth, there is no adversity that has the power to destroy you. You just don't know. No matter how severe it is, you are meant to outlast it. God knows what he put in you when you got born again. The Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world inherently. But he adds something else. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, this is New King James. Of course, he says that has overcome the world. No. King James. King James on this one. The others were NKJV is good, not this one. This is the victory. Overcometh is simply overcomes. This is present perfect. Is that present perfect tense? Yes, sir. That means faith is constantly overcoming. Constantly, actively overcoming, all the time. Now it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What is he saying? If you were to read it backwards, he's saying, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Which means when faith is in place, that is the victory. Okay. When the word reaches your heart, that is the evidence of the victory not seen. Okay, someone missed it because they haven't read Hebrews 11. Please, sir, let's turn to Hebrews 11. There are many things we are quoting here, assuming that you read your Bible or that you have been in church for the last at least 1.5 years. You know? Every time you miss a service, you miss an opportunity for God to write things in your heart. Every time you're absent for a fellowship, that's exactly what you're missing out on. An opportunity for God to put a writing of victory in your spirit. How do you know when to stop pursuing something or to continue pursuing? It has to be by a light on the inside. If you depend on circumstances to guide you on which business you should start and which one you should not, the devil will lead you far away from what God chose for you. Satan leads through circumstances. God leads through your spirit. I think we debunked that thing of God speaks in many ways. He even speaks through circumstances. Brother, if he spoke through circumstances, when the Israelites got to the Red Sea, they should have gone back. They should have gone back. I mean, if God does speak through circumstances, they were supposed to go back. If God spoke through circumstances, Lot went to the right place. Because the Bible says that this land of Sodom and Gomorrah were greener than every other place. But the Bible says he did not know that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked before the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he was not led by the word. He was led by sight. God's word was not in his spirit. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have hope for a bright future, he says faith gives it substance. Now, where is hope? As we, my God, time is, praise the Lord. It is well. Okay, good. How many of you have hope? Where is it? No, show me, where is it? Hope is in your heart. Right? Now, the Bible tells you faith gives substance to that hope. So, where then is faith? In your heart. The difference between hope and faith is that faith is a God-backed hope. It's a hope that has an anchor on something God said. There is no guarantee that all your hopes will come to pass until it receives substance. This is why many people, despite their prayer with hope to get healed, don't get healed. Because they only have a hope to be well, but it is not based on God's word. Sickness does not come from God. It comes from the devil, from the world. But the Bible says faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Until your hope turns to faith, it may not achieve victory. You need to know that. Hope is beautiful. But hope doesn't change anything. It's just hope. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, which means hope can be deferred. It can fail. It doesn't have to come to pass that just because you hoped. You need to move from a person that is just hope-filled to a faith-filled Christian. This is the one that outlasts adversity. He said, okay, let's go back. But when desire cometh, praise the Lord, is a tree of life. Hallelujah. When does desire come? When the hope turns to faith. Okay, let's go back. 1 John 5:4. We finish. Oh God. We're just getting to the sweetness of the thing. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It is not a good president. It is not a visa to the U.S. U.S. is in the world. So is Kenya. Which means you can experience victory anywhere. But what God will use to bring your life into it is not a beggarly prayer, is not an empty hope, it's a word-backed hope. When the word of God gives substance to your hope, that substance, that is what is called evidence. You carry the evidence of unseen victory in your heart. So you know, no matter, come what may, I am outlasting this adversity. Because the evidence of victory is in your heart. He said, taking the shield of faith, you will quench whatever Satan throws at you. It won't stop him from throwing. He will throw. But every time he throws, you will quench. Every time he throws, you quench. When? When you testify to your faith. Anytime he throws, you quench. Praise the Lord. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? Amen? Please turn to your neighbor and tell them, faith is your victory. Not someone else's faith. Your faith is your victory. Praise the Lord. Tell them you're carrying your victory everywhere you go. Come on, someone. Do you believe that?
Yes,
tell them again. Turn to another one. Tell them you're carrying your victory everywhere you go. Victory for that business. You have it.
Yes,
victory for your future. You've got it. Victory for your family. You have it. All you need is to carry a word from God and approach your family with that word of God. And as you approach your family, you say, this is the evidence that this family is not going to the ground. This is the evidence that I will walk in health. I will live. I will prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers in God. Amen? You take the victory and you approach life with it and go conquering. Praise God. Go enjoy the conquest. Amen? Enjoy the conquest, for you have been made more than a conqueror. Praise the Lord. Let's be upstanding. I don't know what it may be that some of you are going through. Some people may have gone to hospital. You are afraid to talk about it in church. Because there are indications of diagnosis that may sound terminal. The word of God says that with his stripes you are healed. Therefore, sickness will not have power over you. There are those of you who are now contemplating, fuel prices have just gone up. You're preparing yourself to be parking your car a quarter of the week. Bus fare in an increase in your area. You're already planning how you will be waiting for certain hours when the prices are down. Brothers and sisters, victory over the economy is yours. This is when you should be planning to buy a brand new car. This is the time, I'm telling you. You should be planning to travel even more. Full tank. Be observing the gauge from the other end. Brothers and sisters, I'm serious. God is with you. You need to know what that means to you. He is with you in your home. He is with you in your family. He is with you in your marriage. He is with you in your studies. He is with you in your finances. He is with you in your health. He is with you in the ministry. He is with you when you go out. He is with you when you come in. He is with you with your friends, with enemies, with strangers. He is with you. It doesn't change anything. Somebody just lift up your hands and begin to declare, the victory of God is your part. That is your part that was prepared. That is your path that was prepared. Go ahead and start that business. Go ahead and start that business. It will turn into something. Go ahead and join school. The school fees will pursue you. Brothers and sisters, you are moving from health to health, from strength to strength. God's grace is increasing in your life. In the name of Jesus, you will do more than you have done before. I know there are people even here in the move You believe you're supposed to not only be a music minister, but a professional musician. I'm here to tell you, you will succeed. You will succeed. You will live above economy lines. Pursue this thing. I'm telling you, pursue it. Yours is not ordinary. God is with you. God is with you. Sichi, God is with you. I said, God is with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody take a minute and just celebrate God. Celebrate Him. Your best days are just manifesting now. Your best days are just manifesting now. Your best days are upon you.
Thank you for sticking into the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.